Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Hello, how you doing today? I hope I find you feeling healthy on this Thursday, July 1st, 2021. This is Dave Cuthbertson here. Right now, starting off a little bit solo, but it's all right. I think we got Barry coming in a little bit. But today, we're very excited because there is a very dramatic event happening live right now, actually on ESPN. Google is presenting the reveal of the All-Star starting rosters. So that's very interesting. But as usual, let's just take a look around the scoreboard right now. I see Washington is down to the Dodgers. They're in Washington. The Dodgers are up 6-2, and in the top of the sixth, Milwaukee's up 2-1 on Pittsburgh. In Cleveland, Houston is ahead 6-2, and they are in the bottom of the fifth. And in the top of the fifth, in Cincinnati, San Diego is down 0-2, with Cincinnati having that 2-0 lead, trying to pull up to 500 record. The Mets are down 1-3 in the bottom of the sixth. Now, Atlanta's only got three runs, but don't forget they put up an absolute whopping 20 yesterday, which is just unbelievable. I mean, the Mets, baseball in New York is very interesting, and I'm sure we'll dive into that. Right now, we're looking at a start that's just began, St. Louis and Colorado, set to start soon. And then later on tonight, we have San Francisco and Arizona. And earlier today, we have a few games that have already finished up, but we also have a number of games that were postponed. Seattle took down Toronto, 7-2. Seattle still hanging above 500 at 43-39. Toronto falls to 41-38. And Boston just continues to steamroll everything in their path, crossing the 51-win mark. So now I believe they would be on pace to win slightly over 100 games after, again, they win 15-1. At home, and Minnesota lost again. The White Sox won again. White Sox up to 48-32. And another game of note, Oakland lost, wins that game 8-3. But, you know, we take a look around the league right now. I think it's very interesting to take a step back. We've got the All-Star Game announcement happening. Looks like right now, and I will bring those to you as I can confirm them. Looks like right now we're looking at looks like the second baseman in the NL is going to be Adam Frazier from the Pirates. So that's very exciting. But, you know, before I really want to just highlight a couple of stats as we're at this point of the season. I mean, I still think despite his pretty bad start against the Yankees earlier this week where he only got two outs. I mean, the guy still has 28 home runs. It's two ahead of anybody else. And, you know, if you look at the home run race right now, it's really been a three-person race with Otani, Guerrero, and Tatis. Now, I still think the most interesting thing of that group is Otani's been injured for some time, and Tatis has certainly been injured for some time. Guerrero, you know, Vlad's been in a bit of an Iron Man type of player this year, which you don't really see much anymore of a guy just going out there seemingly every game. I mean, the guy himself has appeared in, 78 of the games this season. And I believe, only two guys have appeared in 81 games to this point, which would obviously be half a season. And one of which is Kyle Seager. So, I mean, you are seeing, big time players do that. But, you know, Kyle Schwarber, I mean, the guy right now has been on a tear. It's been absolutely fascinating to see. But While, you know, while we talk and we dive into some of these stats that have been amazing, I have to dive into a quick hello to our friend Barry. Villain, what do you got for us?
Villain, happy Bobby Bonilla Day, what's up, man?
Bobby Bonilla. Listen, it's one of these things where every time I enjoy Bobby Bonilla Day, I'm like, oh, man, it's got to be like one of the last ones. And it's going to be like another 10 years. This is fantastic.
Yeah, 12 years, I think. 12. No, 14. 14. It goes to 2035.
You know, this is really Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing you can enjoy from generation to generation.
Exactly, and it's like it's a curse. Not only being a Met fan, but getting passed on. Don't let TP hear that because he always says that I'm still a Met fan. Everybody knows my father or my grandfather grew up Dodger fans and then became Met fans when the Dodgers left for LA.
I mean,
so they are Met fans. I was raised. I was abused as a child. I was raised a Met fan. I rebelled when I was about 8, 9 years old, and never looked back. I went to the Yankees, but I do celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day just like everybody else.
You know, speaking of the Mets, by the way, that's the weakest first place team. What feels like by a pretty long shot of all the divisions. It's funny. I don't know about you. I thought the NL East was just going to be beating up on everybody else, but it's not looking that way. It's funny. The Mets actually are the only first-place team with a negative run differential. They have a negative 2 run differential, and they're somehow first in the division. Everybody else has at least a 30-plus 30 run differential. And I feel like it's such a wonky
meanwhile,
stat,
they got crushed today, right? Didn't they get crushed? Yesterday they got crushed.
It was yesterday. They lost,
to,
I think, 21.
Listen, yeah, it was pretty bad.
The Jets could perform better than that, honestly. It was ugly.
I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. It is the Jets we're talking about here. You know,
okay.
Listen,
you know what?
Listen, you know what it is, though? It's because that division is really inconsistent. I think the Mets have good pitching, but not deep pitching, especially in the bullpen. The hitting's kind of been up and down. The Nationals are hitting. The pitching's inconsistent. The Braves just really – they're really disappointing. I thought they would be a lot better than what they are. I think their injuries. Acuna had the back tightness, so that's kind of hurting them. You know, the Marlins kind of falling back. The Phillies started to kind of, you know, do a little thing, a couple good things, but then have really fallen back. I mean, if anything, the Nationals are playing probably the best baseball in that division right now, and you know, Schwarber, like you were saying before, he kills the Mets, and he's just hitting anything that moves right now.
And, you know, the whole division, I feel like, has guys stepping up. You know who I find fascinating has been he's not a star, and he'll always go under the radar, but I got to say Zach Wheeler's kind of holding his own, you know, for a solid season. And that's the kind of guy where if he's performing, you're just going to elevate everybody else on that team. I mean, you know, what, Zach Wheeler's 6-5, Aaron Nola's 5-5. There's nobody right there. You know, those two guys aren't going to, you know, make you change your thoughts on a team like the Phillies, you know, as a championship contender. But over the course of the season, yeah, it's really going to make a difference where it's just a guy you see coming up and you're like, all right, it's not a free win. And that's something. I don't know. I feel like as a Yankee fan, there's been no such thing as a free win. This season's been like, it's hard.
Disappointing.
It's hard to analyze this Yankee season. And you know what, Barry, I'd love to get your thoughts on ownership doubling down on keeping Boone and Cashman. I mean, Cashman, I understand, almost to a point where I just laugh whenever, you know, I know you're listening and keep your ears on the ground to the talk shows and what the people are thinking. I just can't imagine Cashman's on any shaky ground. But Boone, what do you think about they should do with Boone?
I mean, I honestly have not listened to sports radio in a while. I actually do not listen to the Fan much anymore. I, you know, for personal reasons that we can get into at another time. But really just, you know, I'll be frank about it, even though, you know, I am a fan. You know, we do kind of have a little bit of a responsibility on this show to kind of keep it down the middle, but I'll be quite frank. I just don't see any voices on the Fan that speak to me. And they haven't for years. Nobody at the Fan looks like me. Nobody thinks like me. Nobody talks like me.
Listen,
you can take that how you want to take it. You know, what is that?
I said, listen, there's you know, 7-some-odd billion people on this planet. Trust me, there's no other Barry Jordans.
No, but I mean in general, I'm talking really general. I look at the morning show, I look at the afternoon show, the midday show, I look at the evening drive show. They're all good at what they do, but they all, except for Maggie, look the same and think the same and don't look like me. So you can take it for wherever you want.
What the one, the only Barry Jordan has to say about the Yankees managerial and coaching situation.
Yeah, I mean, real quick, I mean, to go back to the NL East, because you bring up an interesting point, the fact that the Nationals are starting to win games really kind of puts them in a position where now they probably will not move Scherzer, Matt Scherzer, because they probably will be in the race for the division, even though they're 2 games over .500. And, you know, the Yankees might have been able to pry him away for a good price. Now the Nationals like, maybe we can keep him and go on a playoff run because we're right there. And you know, the same thing for Zach Wheeler. You know, if the Phillies win a couple games, get hot, they're right in the thick of the division race. So that division being mediocre can kind of have ramifications across a lot of different situations in baseball. But Yankee talk, Dave, Cash is not going anywhere. We know that. Cash has a blank check. You know, he's not going anywhere. So, you know, but I kind of look at him as a problem and not a solution. I think he said the right thing. Listen, we suck right now. The Yankees suck. They're terrible to watch. They're hard to, you know, look at right now. They take one step forward and two steps back. But Cashman built this team. And you're talking about a team that's playing in Yankee Stadium that's built for left-handers, and I have nothing but right-handed hitters in this lineup, up and down the lineup, from LeMahieu to Judge to Stanton to Sanchez to Voit to Andujar to Frazier, right-handed, Gio Urshela, right-handed, you know, Torres, Gleyber Torres, right-handed. You can't build the lineup worse for your own home stadium than Cashman has done. He's got to take some responsibility for that. Now, I know, listen, part of it is the ownership not giving him a blank check to go spend. You have to spend under 180-some-odd million so that you can get under the luxury tax. Okay. But, I mean, there were left-handed bats to be had. One of them is in Washington mashing home runs. How would he have looked in Yankee pinstripes hitting into that short porch? You're talking about Brantley, right? Exactly. You're talking about Michael Brantley, who was available. They could have got him. I mean, Aaron Hicks is always injured. So, you know, don't tell me that you could have, you know, it would have been a crowded outfield. It's only crowded for a couple games, and then guys like Judge are not playing. And then you got, you know, Aaron Hicks always hurt, you know what I'm saying, or Frazier, who can't buy a hit. So, I mean, I got to give ownership some of the blame. I got to give Cashman some of the blame. I can't really give Boone a lot of the blame as far as them not hitting and then pitchers being ineffective because he didn't build the team and he doesn't go out there and play. But, I mean, I'm also looking at a lineup that he puts together in that why is Frazier still out there? And Duhar may not be the better fielder, but he's the better hitter right now. He's hitting the baseball. Thank God Sanchez is hitting the baseball, or God knows where this team would be right now. But, I mean, we're talking about mental errors that this team makes, and that's a part of coaching. I mean, getting caught at third base, the constant double plays, you know, getting caught, you know, going home or, you know, leading off a second base and running to third when the ball's hit in front of you. We're talking about little league shit that they're getting thrown out for, that they're running themselves out of innings for. That's on the coach. You got to fix that. And it's been happening consistently. I know the hitters are hitting into double plays. That's not on Boone, but there's a lot of stuff that's going on that the blame should get passed around equally to everybody. This whole organization from top to bottom right now on Bobby Bonilla Day, July 1st, 2021, stinks.
I mean,
everybody,
you know, it's no
stinks.
It's you're the critic. It's no secret that, you know, baseball isn't about putting the ball in play, but I just think they overdid it. You know what I mean? They took the I'm going to say it every week. They took the average and tried to moneyball themselves, but I think they just got too cute. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. The Yankees have only one, and this is, you know, I'm showing everybody who qualifies, and then I said, you know what? Let's see everybody. But everybody who's batting for the Yankees right now, there's only one person over 300, and that's Esteban Florial, who's 1-for-3. So, I mean, it's embarrassing. I mean, you're truly your batting leader for the team is Aaron Judge, who's hitting 285, and then you have LeMahieu, 273. And the fact that you have to go to your second, you know, leader in batting average to be LeMahieu, I mean, first off, he should be leading the team in batting average. You shouldn't have guys like Gleyber Torres hitting 242. And just the amount of strikeouts in – and, you know, the thing with looking at this, you know, a spreadsheet of stats, it's great. It can tell you a lot about the team, but I don't know how much you've been able to watch. You know, I know if you're not checking out the talk shows, but if you're watching the actual games, it just feels like every time you're just expected to be let down, which is weird as a Yankee fan. I mean, you know, as a Yankee fan, I'm 34. Pretty much every season of my life, I could wake up and if I was going to bet the Yankees were going to beat whoever they were playing that day. Why? Because they'd always win more than, you know, 50% of their games. Just they have a winning record over my lifetime, and it is what it is. But right now, it just – I don't know. But do you remember when – let's go with, you know, 2009, 2010. Now, granted, they won the World Series in 2009, but there was just this feeling every time A-Rod came up, and it was a big spot. And you're like, I can't wait to see how he's going to make it out this time. And it was almost like an eye roll. I felt the same way about Stanton for a little while. But now it doesn't matter who the hell is up. It could be even LeMahieu at this point. It's like, you know, it's like, is LeMahieu, you know, maybe he'll get the clutch hit. You would think, you know, in previous years, you'd think, oh, who's going to make the hit today? But now it's like, all right, so how are they not going to pull through with runners in scoring position? And it's such situational just dreck. And it's hard because I love Boone, right? I mean, 03, that home run, he's almost got like a pass, you know, his whole life for me. Even if this whole situation doesn't work out and he just, you know, the Yankees part ways one day or, you know, something like that, whatever. I'm always going to love Aaron Boone is my point. But every single time something goes wrong or Gary Sanchez misperforms or has a little bit of a temper tantrum or if there's a base running error or if Clint Frazier's just not doing it right now, the guy's hitting 186. It's disgusting. You know, if he's not doing well, Aaron Boone always says, well, let's say, you know, it's my fault I didn't do this or that. And they hired him because he's going to generally go with the plan that Cashman gives him or whatever the stats team gives him to roll with. But he just doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's impacting the team. What he's doing is he's being a buffer. If a guy has a bad day, he's saying, listen, it was my fault. When Chapman's on a bit of a shaky streak after having one of the best starts to a season that I can remember. And he's been shaky, and every time that something's gone wrong, it's literally not been Chapman's fault. And nothing has been anybody's fault in this team because it's always Aaron Boone's fault. So if I was thinking, you know, if I was to go back and watch every single press conference this team has had and just take a tick mark of losses, and in those losses, how many different things were Aaron Boone's fault, I'm starting to wonder, I mean, would I have more ticks than losses at this point? Because just that's the kind of way he goes about it. And if that's what Aaron Boone's role is to be the buffer and to make the players happy, because we all know the only reason Girardi didn't make it was he butt heads with the players. And I just think they went too far the other way with Boone, and he's not affecting the team. And it sounds sad. I just I don't think he's the kind of guy who would go in there and, you know, he's not a Buck Showalter type. He's never going to be a Buck Showalter type to go in there and just lay into the players. And they don't have anybody in the franchise who's going to do that. If you hear Hal or Hank calling into one of the shows, I mean, I do listen from time to time, and they will make a statement here or there, and it's like, you know, we're really disappointed. We think the team could perform better. That's their statement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who's going to light a fire under those guys?
Nobody. I mean, you know, the great George Steinbrenner ain't coming back to do that. So, but to your point, Boone is a good guy. He's a good manager, but he's a puppet in a certain ways. And I don't want to say a puppet to kind of degrade him or anything. He's an extension
of... Nobody wants to say anything bad about
the whole... No, but he's the extension of the plan, the program that they have in place where... The manager positions are decisions come from the GM, and they're, you know, in a room and decide these are the guys that sit here and decide, okay, this is the lineup, this is who I'm going to play, this is who I'm not going to play. It's done in a room based on analytics. It's not on your gut. Like one of the movies I really enjoy watching, Moneyball, really good movie with Brad Pitt, right? And the part in the movie where the guy that plays Al, the manager, and he comes in and says, you know, you pick the players, I'll pick the lineup. You know what I mean? And it's like that kind of thought process is out the window. Now it's analytics. It's like the manager picks the lineup with the GM and with the special assistant to the GM and the owner. It's like that's who Boone is, and Boone isn't there to kind of make gut decisions like Steinbrenner would have Torrey or Buck Showalter do. It's really done in a room. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how the game is played. But to your point, now you're talking about a player's manager that's going to be nice, isn't going to light a fire too much. And maybe he is. We don't know what he does behind the scenes, you know, in the dugout when the cameras aren't there. But something's got to change. I mean, the fact that you had a really good story going in from last night into the rain delay where you're going to take two or three from a team that you need to beat at home, and you knock Otani out of the game, and then you wind up losing the game. It's just more Yankee crap. You know what I mean? Just piling on, more Yankee crap. I mean, 41-39 halfway through the season is unacceptable for the New York Yankees. And they just made a trade today for who gives a damn. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's, I wanted Stanton not to come back and not be a Yankee, not anything personal to him. I think he's a good player. I think, you know, he can mash the ball with the best of them. But he doesn't sit. He's not a left-handed bat that we need, you know. It's just a poorly constructed team.
It sounds sacrilegious, and I don't mean it when I say it, but out of frustration, I want to say I still wish we had Starlin Castro. But I'm looking at my board, and I see we have somebody who wants to weigh in on our topic. So, caller, you're on the line.
Caller from the 615. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Are you on mute?
Caller once. All right. If you're on mute, you're mute. But if not, yeah, I mean, you know, I could sit here and talk Yankees all day, Dave, and how frustrating it is to watch this team. And, I mean, the caption that he had we had a couple days ago was perfect. We suck right now. And there's nothing.
Yeah.
We suck right now. And that's it. That's it.
You know what's really frustrating, too, is it felt like for the last – Yeah, I'll say for the last, 10 years, basically, we've been wondering who's the next frontline starter after Sabathia? You know, it was supposed to be Tanaka. It never quite worked out to be Tanaka. It felt like there were a number of different guys who it could have been, but it never was. I mean, even Severino for a while looked like he was going to be the next ace to carry the whole franchise, and it just never worked. But I hate the stigma, but basically, you know, we did what we had to do and went out and bought one. It's just frustrating, but let's move on from the Yankees.
Yeah, please.
I have a question for you, Barry. You know, we're halfway through the season. And right now your division leaders in the AL are Boston, Chicago, and Houston, which it's pretty much been that way, since the beginning, although Oakland did have a very, very good start to the season, and Oakland and Houston both having 48 wins doesn't surprise me. In the AL, do you see Boston, the White Sox, and Houston and Oakland? I mean, with Tampa, by the way, right behind Boston, 3.5 games behind them, and the Indians are 4.5 behind. Do you see these standings shaking up at all? I mean, I hate to say it, but I just think the Red Sox, the White Sox, and the Astros can all kind of go into cruise control. So I just don't see the Indians putting it together. I do see the Athletics hanging in there. I don't see the Mariners sustaining. I just don't. It just seems like the teams who are good are going to stay good, and the teams who are bad are just going to stay bad.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard for a team like the Yankees and maybe even the Rays to catch Boston. I think Boston getting Chris Sale back pretty soon, that might be the piece that's missing in Boston. I don't think Boston is the best team in the American League, but I think they're probably the best equipped to win the division. And that's good enough to get in the playoffs, obviously. I think the Houston Astros are the best team in the AL. I think their pitching is kind of meh, but I really like that lineup. Correa and Altuve are really showing some really good stuff hitting-wise. Straw is having a nice season, for them, Miles Straw. They're hitting. And they're going to mash against that competition in their division. And that's, that's a recipe right there. You know what I mean? Like, you get Los Angeles Dodgers, Angels that can't pitch. The Mariners are too young. Oakland is too inconsistent. They're just going to beat up on these teams the whole right west of the way, and they're going to be really hard to keep down. The Rangers, forget about it. They're just going to beat up on these teams, even though they've lost, four or five straight, and kind of come back down to earth a little bit. I think staying in the division and hitting them enough is going to get them over the hump. And I look at the White Sox the same way, because you're talking about getting, 20-some-odd games against your division rivals. They're going to beat up on the Royals. They're going to beat up on the Twins, who just haven't been able to bounce back. I thought they might be able to get to 500 at some point. I don't see it happening. Cleveland and Detroit. Cleveland's a good team still. I mean, with all the losses that they have, got to give them credit for being 7 games over 500. I think if anybody's going to give Chicago a problem, it's going to be Cleveland. And I thought it was going to be Minnesota, but it's really going to be Cleveland. But I think Chicago has enough. So I don't really see a lot of movement. I don't see a lot of change. I want there to be change. I want the Yankees to get in there and maybe sneak into that wild card, because it doesn't look like they're going to have enough to catch Boston, even though they play them. But, I think Houston and Chicago aren't moving at all.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about how the teams have been. I just want to jump back into the Red Sox, though. I mean, I hate having to defend the Red Sox, and it's the worst. But, right now they're third in the league in terms of runs per game. They're not leaving a lot of guys on base. So I think you put those two things together. They're doing what the Yankees really aren't. They're getting timely hitting. They're not really mashing the ball too much. They're right in the middle of the pack in terms of home runs. And really, like you said, I just think the inconsistency that some of the teams are showing is not enough to make me feel like they're going to do it. But let me just jump back over to the line here, and let's see if we can give our caller another chance. And we're going to bring him in from the 615.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Mike. I live in Des Moines. I've been on the Sunday show a lot of sports chefs a few times, so I just want to jump in with you guys.
Certainly. Welcome.
And thank you, man. I appreciate it. Weighing on your baseball thing, I kind of agree with you, except I still think that Minnesota has enough bats to make a little bit of noise. I really think when it comes down to it, though, you got 5 playoff spots, and they're going to go to probably there's in my head right now, there's about 6 teams that are contending for those 5 playoff spots in the American League. I think Chicago is out of the three division leaders right now, I think they're the most solid bet to win that division. I think the others definitely can. I think it's going to be very interesting to see if any of these guys do anything over the trade deadline. I mean, with the bats that they have in Toronto, if they went and got a starter or two, or if somebody decided to sell off, and they were able to get a really good starter atop that rotation, that's a team that could be a scary matchup for somebody. But I think Boston, Tampa, and Toronto, the three, Chicago, and then I think Houston and Oakland are really the only two that could come out of the West. I mean, I could see a scenario where Houston's pitching got inconsistent, you know, Bregman being out. I echo what you said about Altuve and Correa both having good years. You know, contract for Correa is coming up soon. I got Altuve at a bargain in a money baseball league that I play, so I'm happy with that. But I think those really six teams are going to be the ones contending for those five playoff spots in the American League.
So let me ask you. How much of an impact do you think guys will have either call-ups towards the end of the year, which I don't think will be as impactful as it's been in the past. I mean, we've already seen Wander Franco make an impact for the Rays, but I'm thinking, you know, going back to the White Sox. So if you see, you know, the White Sox, the Red Sox, those teams that we've been talking about, how much of an impact do you think if they can get like a big star player coming back? I forget honestly off the top of my head. If Robert or Jimenez is going to be able to come back.
I think there's a chance that Jimenez could be back in September.
That would be huge. And you know, Barry was saying earlier, though, that the Red Sox are getting a Chris Sale back, and I think I hope I'm wrong, again, as a Yankee fan, but I do think Chris Sale, he's had a little bit of time to, you know, get his shoulder and his body refreshed, and I really think he could make a big difference. But it's not like he'll make a big difference from being a star. They don't need him to be the star. They need him to be like the Aaron Nola in Philly and just, you know, go 5-5 down the stretch somehow.
Well, and I think the interesting thing to me is, especially if they could get Jimenez back, the interesting thing to me with that White Sox team is it looks like Carlos Rodon has figured it out. Like, he showed flashes when he was in college and whatever, younger. It looks like Rodon has figured it out. He's got the kind of stuff that can be tough to hit. Giolito is still a legit starting pitcher. You get anything out of the other guys in that rotation, and that could be a tough team to match up with in October, just because they have the chance to really be good offensively. I think it's going to come down. I mean, I feel like the best two teams – are probably them and Houston right now. But like you said, if you get a guy like Sale, and then Boston's getting contribution from other guys. Like, I mean, very quietly, but Nathan Eovaldi has been very good this year.
Yeah, that's terrible to see that he's doing so well.
Yeah, he figured it out. He figured it out in Boston, and that's a great point. That I think – He's giving them that frontline starter that they needed last year, and he's giving it to them this year. Rodriguez is their quote-unquote number one right now, but he's not a number one. Eovaldi is dominating with the fastball, with the cutter, and the slider. He's pitching really well. That's why I say if Sale comes back, I think he'll be on a pitch count, but if he comes back and gives you 4 or 5 solid innings, at what he can do, and then ramps up for the playoffs, Boston can make a run. I tried to tell people at the beginning of the year, don't sleep on Boston. If they hit 1-5, if their 1-5 hitters hit, they could be a 500 or better team. They've all been hitting. Their bullpen is consistent enough with another former Yankee, Anavano, and Barnes. Or I think Barnes had a little bit of an injury, but they're getting enough out of them. They're playing above water, and I think they're only getting more confident as they were winning games. So they're a dangerous team.
Hey, you care if I read the All-Stars off real quick? They just popped out.
Yeah, I saw them pop off too. So let's talk All-Star.
All-Star starters for the American League, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. at first base, Marcus Semien at second base, Xander Bogaerts at short, Rafael Devers at third, Salvi Perez is the catcher. Surprise, surprise, Shohei Ohtani is a designated hitter. The outfielders are Mike Trout, who's going to have to be replaced, Aaron Judge, and Teoscar Hernandez. you guys think of that group?
I think it's pretty good. I thought Altuve had a shot to get in, but I like the group. I think Judge definitely deserves to be a starter, even though the Yankees stink. He's really really come back this year. Otani, I mean, should he be the DH and the pitcher? I mean, is that going to happen?
I think so.
I don't know, but I mean, but congratulations to Vlad Guerrero Jr. I mean, had a tough kind of go at it last year. Was a little bit out of shape, came back in shape this year, and is mashing the baseball. I'm really happy for him. Bogaerts really having a good year out there. And who did you say was the third baseman?
Devers.
Devers definitely deserved
Devers,
it.
Yeah.
I honestly thought he's probably one of the elite third basemen in the league right now. He definitely deserves it. Him and Bogaerts, that arguably one of the best left sides of the infield in baseball, right there with
that's
the Padres with Tatis. Yeah.
Well, Tatis
with
Machado,
I think
yeah.
It's right there with Tatis and
Machado.
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 I think it's right there.
I think to me, first of all, I think you're right. You're spot on right there as far as best left side of the infield in baseball, right there with those two guys. The other thing that, kind of a preference, I guess. I voted for Altuve at second base, and I voted for Bichette at shortstop.
I like the shortstop. I'm a big fan of what Bichette's been doing.
Yeah, me too. I think Bogaerts kind of gets there because his team is playing better, and he's having a pretty damn good year too. So it's not. I like what Bichette's doing, but I think Bogaerts gets the edge.
Are you guys ready for the starters on the other side real quick?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Bring it on.
First base, Freddie Freeman. First base, Freddie Freeman. Second base, Adam Frazier. Fernando Tatis at shortstop. Nolan Arenado at third base. Buster Posey, who's rediscovered the fountain of youth behind the plate.
Wow.
Ronald Acuña Jr. one outfield position. Nick Castellanos and Jesse Winker are the other two outfielders of kids from Cincinnati. And I have very little issue with this team. The only thing that you got probably the best guy. You can make an argument for Machado. You can make an argument for a couple of guys, but I like this team. I had the outfield just like this in my you can't argue with the catcher, though. You can make an argument with first base too, right? But I think it's a solid lineup.
I'm liking the old time, you know, the Buster Posey Salvador Perez combo at catcher, you know, in the NLAL. There's a couple of them where I just really feel like they've got it going. But one of the things that stands out to me is you've got a lot of teams. I think Adam Frazier and Salvador Perez are the only guys, and I guess Acuna. Nope, Freddie Freeman. But only Salvador Perez and
Adam Frazier.
I guess one other guy. Everybody else has a teammate that's an all-star. They're the only guys that you've mentioned who are the only representatives. And I think this is really proving that, you know, your team around you in this season has mattered so much more to your success than it has. I mean, baseball's always a team sport. You know, you can get on first every single time, and if the guy hitting behind you is terrible, you're never going to, you know, score a run. But I think that really says that some of those teams, like
Arenado as well.
That's true. You're right. Yeah, I scrolled right past his name. But, I really think you're seeing some big-time team ball being built. Like, again, what Toronto's doing, what Boston's doing. Buster Posey, like in San Francisco, I feel like he's kind of the veteran leader, not anything I thought I would say about him a couple years ago for that franchise, but I like these rosters. I think they're really solid, and it's a good mix of youth and veteranship, but I would love to see Otani be like, you know, throw the first inning and then have the first at bat. I just think just make it the Otani show. Just go all in.
What if it was the home run?
Yeah.
Derby? He could.
What do you say?
What if he wins the home run derby?
Juice balls in Colorado are a scary mix. That's going to be must-see TV in my book. That's going to be must-see TV.
I think, you know, you mentioned Posey and you mentioned Salvador Perez, the veteran catchers. And I guess the other aside to me on those guys is it's cool to see that those guys came back from significant injuries too and have been able to come all the way back and play at an all-star level.
I agree. I mean, I'm surprised that Posey – I thought I had Posey done. I thought he wasn't going to come back this year at all. For him to come back and really lead a really good San Francisco Giants team, I think of all the surprises that we have at the team level, I think they're the biggest surprise at how good they are. I mean, I thought they could be maybe like a 70, 75 win team. For them to be what? Almost 20 games over 500. Kudos to them.
And they're a band of misfits too. Like, you know what I mean? Like Mike Catchman released from the Yankees, Wilmer Flores has been in a couple of different stops. I mean, now Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford have been there since the turn of the century almost, on that team, but you got a lot of other guys. Buster Posey, we talked about him. I like his Yastrzemski. He was good in college too. Like, I mean, just a band of a bunch of guys, and then even their pitchers, like Johnny Cueto.
It's like
Johnny
Kevin
Cueto's
Gossman.
Social Security.
Yeah, it's like Kevin Gossman
Gossman was good in college, and he showed flashes, and then
nobody saw this coming out of those guys.
It's really great
it's
to see.
Story.
So I'm really happy for them. I'm surprised that, you know, that we got two Reds in the starting lineup, even though they're having really good seasons. I'm surprised to see them there. My guy, Acuna Jr., who just mashes. He was my early season MVP vote for the MVP in the NL. I'm glad to see him there. Freddie Freeman, Freddie Freeman. So a really good, solid team. Tatis Jr., amazing. He's one of the guys, he's one of the few guys I would pay to see. Like, you know, back in the days, there were guys you would pay to see, like Barry Bonds or McGuire or something like that. I would pay to see Tatis play. He's an amazing player, and I'm really happy for him. So, like, a lot of guys, like, that are on these both sides, I'm really happy to see on there, like him and Vlad Jr. And Frazier, too, on a really not-so-good Pirates team, even though they're not good. He deserves to be there. So I think, for the most part, to your guys' point, I think they got it pretty much right. I think I like what they did.
And I just saw that I just got a wire that Vlad Jr. was the top vote getter, and he's the youngest person to ever get that. And it's great. I loved, Vlad's dad playing, starting in the Expos system. It's just so awesome. I mean, I love that. And I know there's talk of Triple Crown for Vlad. I mean, it's I don't see it happening. I mean, he's second in ribbies, he's second in homers, and third in batting average. But just to be in the conversation, we had Miguel Cabrera do it in 2012, and then Yastrzemski, back in the late 60s. Just to be in the conversation for it is fantastic. I want to go back to what we said a couple of shows ago when Nate and I were on. But, looking at the rosters, and I'd love to get, Mike, your input on this too. What should baseball needs to take this and run with it. Vlad is their star. It should have been, in the back of my head, the Yankee fan, it should have been Aaron Judge, could have been a lot of different people. Could have been Mookie Betts. I don't feel like I'm seeing his name anywhere. They're getting close with making Ohtani a star, with a guy who can carry the sport. They can do it with Vlad. He's got the DNA. What do you guys want to see baseball do with the All-Star game to showcase their youth, but at the same time, show that they've got the veterans? But how can baseball use this as a launching pad to get more kids interested in the game and also possibly just drum up interest? I always use kids as an example, but I just mean the public. They've got a huge opportunity with some of these names. What should they do? Like, I think they should go all in on Ohtani, but what about you guys? Mike, I want to start with you.
No, I think Ohtani, you go all in on because he's different, but you also got to make sure, because some of these guys are playing in smaller markets, you got to make sure that you tell the stories of some of these guys or lay some of the history. I mean, Vlad's kind of come out – I mean, he's got the lineage, but he's kind of come out of nowhere. But he's a star. I mean, you talk about Tatis. Those are two guys, you know, Acuna. Those
yep.
are guys that you want to – that you would pay to see play. And those are the guys that need to be household names around the country. I'm sad that Trout's not going to be able to play probably.
Me too.
But I think, you know, it's sad Vlad's not going to be in the Derby. I would have liked to see him come back this year. Because I think that's a good way to show it. But I think even on Derby night, man, I think you need to throw in some I think you need to go full out on these ads or these snippets, like these short. I would take, like, even between segments or whatever, I would do, like, short 2-3 minute bios on some of these guys and kind of tell their stories. And
that's great.
Find ways to sort of highlight them throughout the week. And, like, I would start pimping it up. I'd show commercials for the All-Star game, but I would – you know, I put that blurb up about Vlad, or I put up Acuna, because even though he got started slow this year, the guy still got over 20 home runs. He still got 16 stolen bases, and he can steal bases in bunches. I mean, he could still be a 40-40 guy at some point, right? So, and as these rosters fill out, I think you got to continue to put, like, their names should be in any commercial about the All-Star game. People need to hear their names. They need to see their faces. They need to see highlights from them. And they need to be telling their stories on any national, like on TBS, Popcorn, on ESPN. They need to be recording little short documentaries about these guys. That's what I think.
That's great. I love that idea, the like a little in between. You know, there's always time in between pitches, especially more so during like an All-Star game because the pace is going to be a little bit slower because you're highlighting the players. But, you know, when you're talking like the home run derby, I believe it was Robinson Cano's dad who was pitching to him. And just that was kind of
yep.
a cool story. And we need those connections to humanize the players. I mean, I think that's what basketball has done so brilliantly. I mean, you know, I always go with Peyton Manning theory. And what I mean by Peyton Manning theory, it was 98. The internet was still kind of young, but everybody knew who Peyton Manning was. And you knew he made Indianapolis a place to be in the late 90s. Who the hell? That's something. So what you got to do is like take Mike Trout has somehow made the Angels not interesting. It should be the other way around. I love the idea of like a little short biopic. I mean, at this point, all the guys are so young that, you know, you probably have cell phone camera footage of them learning to play ball in the backyard. I think that would
just
be so great. I mean.
And I think the reason why it's the other way around is just because of how poorly run that Angels franchise has been, though. I mean, they can't get pitching. They sold off their guys for guys that didn't work out. You know, some bad contracts.
But it's the
they can't get enough pitching and good guys. Yeah.
See, to me,
but
it's
you
the market.
Win.
Like,
I don't care how you market, though. You got to win.
A-Rod was a star on the last place Texas Rangers. I don't think that's as true now as it used to be. I think you can be a big star on a crappy team, but baseball hasn't figured out how to do it. I mean, you look at any football team, and a guy like, you know, a Baker Mayfield. You know, he's. You know, they're an up-and-coming franchise, but even when they were just a terrible team, you know, they're still getting big marketing deals. And I understand that you could certainly say that, oh, well, you know, football's a bigger sport. But what they're doing is they're putting their players out there. You have, you know, star players on bad franchises in basketball, but they're still star players. They're still getting out there. And it's Los Angeles. I don't understand how they just can't figure out how to market. That's the thing.
Management.
Management. I don't
Let
want to say
management,
that,
Dave.
I think it's two different things.
It really is. Let me say this last thing, though. If this were the – and I think it also has to do with the franchise, and I understand the Angels had the rally monkey and whatever at the beginning of the century. But if Mike Trout were a Dodger, even if they were a middle-of-the-pack team, he wouldn't have this problem.
Nope, not at all. It's their little brother in L.A., which hurts, and they're just not competing. They're not competing in their own town, let alone in their division. So – It's an eight ball that they're behind, and it's a shame that Mike Trout is a 3-4-time MVP, and we just don't know. You know what I mean? We just don't know. I definitely love your ideas, Mike. I totally agree with you. I think the home run derby is where it's at. I think they need to make it more fun. And I don't know how you don't make a home run derby fun, because it already is fun. It's the best thing. It's the sexiest thing in baseball, the home run, right? But give the players the microphone. Don't let the announcers announce and just talk and ramble and tell stories. Let the players run it. Let the players announce it. Show them on TV with the microphone down at the field, stopping play maybe halfway through to go talk to Ohtani. Let's hear from these guys. Let Acuna, I want to hear him. Let him talk, you know what I mean, during the home run derby. Humanize it, you know what I'm saying? Like, just get the announcers away from the action and give it to the players. Let them talk. You know, let DeGrom say, you know, I wouldn't throw this guy a fastball because or a curveball because of what he'll do. You know, like, I don't care, but just let me hear them and see them talk.
You guys, I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm in my 40s, and I remember as a kid on ESPN watching reruns of old school home run derbies. And it wasn't – they didn't do it at the All-Star break. It was like an off-season thing. And they made some money doing it. But it was a very, very intimate setting. And it would be like guys like Willie Mays against Stan Musial. Like, I mean, it was that kind of thing. And they would have those home run derbies, and they would kind of have it by innings. And it was individual sort of matchups, right? And
– yep.
And to me, if you're going to get this many outs, almost make it like a game with these two matchups where we're top and bottom and let them alternate swings like that. And then where you get three outs, but instead of making it such a big time setting, and I promise I'll learn this really quickly, but instead of making it like a big time setting, like the big stadium, the Major League Stadium, All-Star thing, make it more intimate. Like you said, have the mic down the field. You can have one broadcaster down there, but let a couple of pitchers describe it or let a couple other people like say what's going on or whatever. And just, you know, have a broadcaster there to take over if there's a lull and nothing happening or whatever, or to be able to move on the field like the old field reporters used to and talk to another group of players or talk to somebody else and maybe have that individual. What they need is, and you can't put him in a time machine and do this, but what they need is a setting where you had Vin Scully down on the field.
Yeah. No, yeah. Do that. Great. Do something. I mean, honestly, I'm 40 years old. I do remember those old shows. I used to see Hank Aaron versus like Mickey Mantle or something. In black and white, in this like it wasn't like a sand lot, but it was this old stadium that was huge, and they used to hit all these home runs. Sometimes I used to think it was fake because it looked so scripted, but it was awesome to watch these guys hit. So I mean, do that in the off season. Do that over the off season. Take them down to Miami to Florida or something like that, and have like Acuna versus Trout. How I'd watch that. What the hell? I'd watch any of that. A Judge versus Ohtani. I'd watch that. I'd pay to watch that. So, Dad.
Especially if you put it at a certain time where there's not a ton of other things going on in sports. Have it around the beginning of spring training. You're going to have some days off in basketball, and with the All-Star break and stuff coming up, basketball hasn't even ramped up yet. It's going to be right after football or whatever. Just have it come up for like just have them come up for like a week early or a few days early, or I mean, hell, you could have it set up where you had a bracket out of Florida and a bracket out of Arizona or something. And who cares? Ooh. You can take them away from spring training for a day to bring like the final two or four from each bracket to a central location to play a little championship like on March the 12th or something. You know what I mean? Like it could be fun.
Yeah, you could do it like a Skins. You could do it like they do like the like Manning versus Brady golf. You can do a 2-on-2 team, and you know the best team gets like a money charity, whatever you want to call it, however you want to do it. There's marketing. You know, hire me and Mike. We'll do your marketing, baseball. Holla. Me and Mike will do the marketing for these clowns.
And we'll do it right. We'll do it in such a way that if we just get 5% of what they make out of it, we'll never have to work again.
1%. I'll take 1%. I still won't have to work.
Right. And then we could just do shit like this for fun when we feel like it. Right? Like, there you go.
Exactly. But, no, I mean, that's a marketing problem that baseball doesn't have. We've always talked about it, Dave. And I'm glad you bring it up because there's stars out there and stars in the making like Acuna and Ohtani and Tatis who, you know, Tatis is on the cover of the game, right? MLB The Show, but do people know him? Like, do they know anything about him? To have a show about him on you know, where's This Week in Baseball? God, I used to watch that. I used to love to watch
Mel
that.
Allen. Oh, yeah.
Mel Allen, you know what I mean? Hey. Like do that again. Like, you know, it got kind of kiddie in the 90s because I think they had kids hosting it and it got a little silly, but
you know, because you have like ESPN and internet, you know, it's a you know a little bit more about these players, but in baseball, you really don't know much about them. So bring that back.
This generation,
you know,
this generation doesn't know that Tatis Sr. was on the other corner on the infield from Mark McGwire. And then he hit two grand slams in one inning. They don't know that Vladimir Guerrero was the best bad ball hitter since Roberto Clemente, and the two of them are in a tier by themselves. They could hit anything from one batter's box to the other one and find a way to put
it. He hit it off the
Vladimir
ground.
Vladimir Guerrero doubled off the wall on a pitch. Yeah, Vladimir Guerrero doubled off the wall from a pitch that bounced up there.
Yeah, exactly. It was like cricket. It was cricket. I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, yeah. Do that for the All-Star game. Do don't have the announcers announcing the game. Have the players announce the All-Star game. Make it fun. I mean, I used to watch the All-Star. I haven't watched an All-Star game in years. It's just not fun anymore. So I think they try to make it serious. They try to take it seriously by, you know, the winner getting home field advantage, all that stuff. No. Make it fun. You know what? Have a competition. Let the a fan win a competition and announce an inning with whoever the announcers are. You know, let fans get more interactive. Let the fans pick the lineup. I don't know. Do something.
Let me and you
fun.
Broadcast it, dude. We'll have fun. We'll do a better job to make it more fun.
Do something, and to sell your brand. And you don't have to whore yourself out, but sell the brand.
No, it's frustrating. I think all of us agree. I mean, you're just not going to see baseball put the players out there, but they have an opportunity. So let's see what they do. I mean, you know, Manfred's been not making some of the best decisions around, but hey, you know, we'll see how it goes. But hey, guys, we're coming up towards the end of the show. Mike, I do want to give you a quick shout out. I appreciate you calling in. I just want to give you a moment. If you have any last thoughts that you want to give to the people before we sign off.
Yeah, man. At some point, he's kind of cooled down a little bit lately, but go back and check out the stats over the last month plus for Jonathan Schoop from the Tigers. Those numbers are pretty sick. A couple of other things really want to shout out. It's baseball. It's a college level, but a team that has had a lot of success over the years. Mississippi State won their first ever team national championship in any sport last night in college baseball, and they were the better team. My dad will be 80 years old this year, and he graduated from Mississippi State in the 60s, man. So glad to see them win a championship. So shout out to them, and the guy that is their play-by-play guy, his name's Jim Ellis. He's a family friend. He's been calling Mississippi State baseball for 40-plus years. And so for him to be able to celebrate a national championship is kind of cool as well. So good for them. Those are some loyal fans. And the last thing I'll say, on the Clubhouse platform, check out Timeless and the people in that barbershop. And we also have a club on there. It's Braves Country for any Atlanta Braves fans on Clubhouse. We go live for Braves games, but also baseball fans of any kind can feel free to pop on. So check out those Clubhouse clubs and come join anytime. And thanks for the shout out, man. Thank you guys for having me.
You got it. We appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah, I'll call in again. Appreciate you having me.
All right, villain.
Awesome.
I'm going to let you get the next word.
Yeah, absolutely,
we shut
man.
It down for the,
check
the
us
week.
Out. Check us out, Sports City Chefs. You got the brunch on Sunday. Got the NFL show on Monday. The call is cookout on Wednesday. You guys do a great job on the buffet. I love coming on the show with you guys. Get to the site. We got new merch up there. TP Timeless, your shirt is coming. Trust me. We're working on it, but we're doing a lot of great things. Listen to the Clubhouse, the Barbershop, and those guys. Mike, thank you so much for calling in. They do a great job. But love what you're doing on here, Dave. Love you and Nate, man, and keep it up, man.
We appreciate it. Our good friend Nate will be back here this week, or next week, I should say. It's been a lot of fun. Just a reminder to everybody, go check out the website. Check out the blog, www.sportcitychefs.com. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sport City Chefs. I have said enough for a lifetime, and for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon. Thank you all.
Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Kaboom, Sports City.
City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City chefs, chefs.
Connecticut.